had this young fellow I sponsored. He was 29 years old, sober a couple of years. And I said, what do you want to do with you? He was unemployed and unemployable. I said, what do you want to do with your life? He said, well, I've always wanted to be an engineer. I said, well, why don't you go back to school and be an engineer? He said, I don't even have a high school education. I said, well, you can get that. Then you go to university, Tulsa Junior College. And he did those things, and he got on the Dean's Honor Roll, and got him a scholastic scholarship at the University of Tulsa in the engineering school. And this has been, he told me in the beginning, he said, you have any idea how old I'll be by the time I get through becoming an engineer? I said, you have any idea how old you're going to be anyhow? Well, today he's working in Modesto in an engineering company, and in the beginning of the winter, back in December, he called me, said he had one more semester, and then he would graduate and become a full-fledged engineer. So you can do those things if you want to.
Yeah. One thing we've learned, there's no limit to what you can do, no limit to what you can be. If you just follow these few little simple spiritual principles and live by them, it's amazing how things change. Page 76, third paragraph.
He said, now we need more action. Action's a magic word, isn't it? But I wish we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9.
Okay, we got rid of resentments. We got rid of fears. We looked at the people we've harmed, but we haven't done anything about the guilt and remorse. It's filling up the storeroom in the back of my head. So the next thing we're going to do is try to get rid of that guilt and remorse. And then God can direct our thinking entirely. It's long been known that the way you get rid of guilt and remorse associated with things done in the past is to make restitution. We've known that for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Nobody likes to make restitution. I've never seen anybody yet come in an AA meeting, new person, read the steps off the wall and say, man, I can hardly wait to get to that steps 8 and 9. That really looks like fun. Nobody wants to apologize for things we've done in the past that hurt people. Nobody wants to take from today's living to pay back for things that we owe from the past as far as monies are concerned, material things. The only question is, can we afford not to do so? And it seems as though if we don't do something about it, the guilt and remorse continues to eat us up. Eventually, we'll begin having trouble with ourselves, start having trouble with our fellow human beings, and that backs up and blocks us off from God, and we end up drunk all over again. So it's really not a question of whether we want to do 8 and 9. It's a question, can we afford not to? And most of us have found out we absolutely have to do this.
You know, if you think about it real good, what caused me to want to quit drinking? Well, it wasn't the hangovers, because I have had some horrendous hangovers. And that didn't cause me to really want to quit drinking. I have been really, really sick to the point of throwing up blood and all that stuff while drinking. And that didn't cause me to want to quit drinking. But what really caused me to want to quit drinking was the guilt, shame, and remorse that I had as a result of the harm that I've done to other people. The guilt just about eat me alive internally. 8 and 9 is the best way I know of to get rid of that, to make amends. Now, step 8 is a definite step. A lot of times when we study having a step study, we'd skip over 8. If you listen, people start telling you how they went about making amends. But they skip right over step 8. But step 8 is a definite step that needs to be done. And it says here, we have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we're willing to make amends. We took it when we made it when we took inventory. We simply take all those names off of the inventory sheets in column 1 and put them on one long sheet. And that is the beginning of step 8. See, we subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. We did that in step 4, and in 5, we saw how we'd harmed other people. See, now we're about to go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, there's more prayer here in step 8. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. More prayer, you see. So we make the list. Then we become willing to the list. And if we're not willing, we ask God to help us to become willing. That is step 8, a definite step.
I remember when I got into step 8 in that area, step 8 and 9, I went to my sponsor again and I said, Neil, I don't think I'm going to be able to do steps 8 and 9. He said, why? I said, because some of the people that I've harmed they harmed me just as bad as I ever harmed them. And by God, I don't intend to make any amends to them. Therefore, I can't do 8 and 9. He said, well, Charlie, as usual, you're getting the cart before the horse. He said, in step 8, you don't have to make any amends. You're dealing with step 9 when you're talking about the making of the amends. He said, in step 8, all you got to do is be willing to make the amends. And I said, well, that's the problem. Some of them, I'm not willing to make amends to them. Therefore, I can't do 8, and if I can't do 8, I can't do 9. He said, well, let me see if I can help you a little bit. He said, I've already seen the list of people you've harmed. We talked about that way back there in step 5 and etc. And he said, I know that there's some people on your list that you harmed that you would like to make amends to them right now. You'd really like to get it straightened out. He said, there's your son and your daughter. There's your brother. There's your mother, your father. He said, I don't know about Barbara either. We'll think about that later on. And he said, those people, you would really like to make amends to them, wouldn't you? And I said, well, sure. He said, okay, I want you to take another sheet of paper. I want you to write up at the top of it right now. And you go through this list over here, and all those that you are willing to make amends to right now, you put it on that list. Can you do that? And I said, well, yeah, I guess so. He said, well, go home and do it and come back. And I did, and I brought it back to him, and I said, okay, here's that sheet. What do I do now? He said, okay, some of these people on this original list over here, you know you're going to make amends to them sooner or later. Not too crazy about it, but you know you're going to do it sooner or later. Is that right? And I said, well, yeah, you know it is. He said, okay, I want you to take those names off the original list, put them on another sheet of paper, right up at the top of it later. Can you do that? And I said, well, yeah, I guess so. And he said, go home and do it and come back. And I did. And I said, here's the list. He said, okay. Now, there's some people on this original list that you really don't know whether you're going to make amends to them or not. You may or you may not. Is that right? And I said, well, sure, it's right. He said, okay, I want you to take those names off of that list, put them on another sheet of paper, and label it maybe. Can you do that? And I said, well, yeah, I guess so. And he said, go home, do it, and come back. And I did. And I said, now here's these three lists. Now what do I do? He said, there's only a few names left on that original sheet, isn't there? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, those are the ones you don't ever intend to make amends to, right? And I said, yeah. And he said, okay, I want you to put them on another sheet of paper and label it never. Can you do that? And I said, well, I guess so. And he said, go home, do it, and come back. And I came back with all four sheets. I said, now what do I do? He said, very simple. You start making amends to the right nouns. And he said, by the time you're through with that, you'll probably be ready to do some of the laters. And he said, I think by the time you're through with the laters, you'll be ready to start on some of the maybes. And he said, I'm going to bet you $10 right now that by the time you're through with the maybes, you'll be ready to start on the nevers. And the old fool was just exactly right. He didn't let me take 3 or 4 or 5 names and use them to block myself off from the whole procedure. He gave me a way to become willing to make amends to them all. And it really did work for me. And I've used it with people I sponsor, and I've never seen it fail yet. Joe?
Says, remember, as agreed at the beginning, that we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol, including making amends. You know, this is an area which I believe really, I've always believed in sponsorship, but I really believe in sponsorship in the area of making amends. Sometimes in our zeal to go out there and set things straight, we get such a good feeling from making an amend that we just want to go around making amends everywhere. And then sometimes in our zeal, we can cause a whole lot more harm trying to make amends than we caused in the first place. And that's why we need another human being to help us in the area of making amends, to see when to and when not to, and whether it would injure them or others. Because, like I said, some of us, including me, are so selfish and self-centered, we don't think about other people. We just think about ourselves. And another human being can help me see things that I couldn't see in the area of making amends.
Okay, we made our list. We become willing to make amends to them. Now, step 9 is a very definite 3-part step. Step 9 says we made direct amends. And we believe that direct amends is one-on-one, face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, wherever we can. It said we made direct amends wherever possible. Now, I hear people reading how it works, and about half of them will read it as to say whenever possible. No, it says wherever possible. You tell an alcoholic to do something whenever, just forget about it. It's not going to happen. It says, wherever possible, we make those direct amends. Then it tells us when not to make them, except when to do so would injure them or others. Now, Bill, in his usual manner, in the perfect sequence, addresses all three of these issues on the next two or three pages. First, he's going to talk about direct amends. He's going to talk about wherever possible. He's going to talk about when we shouldn't do so. So let's look at this thing. Let's go over to page 77. Let's go down to that middle paragraph. He said, we don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. When it would serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense. Now, I don't know why he did it, but he starts a direct amend thing right here in the middle of that paragraph. The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise.
He said, it may be that he's done us more harm than we've done him. And though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we're still not too keen about admitting our faults. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It's harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feelings and expressing our regret. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we've done our utmost to straighten out the past. We're there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. Never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. Now, if our manner is calm, frank, and open, we'll be gratified with the results. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes a man we're calling him on it admits his own fault, so feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemy sometimes prays while we're doing and wishes well. Occasionally they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. We've made our demonstration, done our part, it's water over the dam.